Well, tonight's message, the title is Victory is Mine Because, with a question mark, and then you fill in the blank. And we're going to talk about some things. Because for the last couple weeks, what's been stirring around in my spirit is that there seems to be a lot of people that are experiencing just some heavy-duty challenges, and a lot of people in the body of Christ. Many feel overwhelmed, and they are hurting, but don't want to talk about it for fear of maybe being considered weak. And some feel like they're just drowning and overwhelmed with stuff that's happening to them. And it's tough for them to kind of feel like they can come out from underneath it. So I believe that tonight's message will be encouraging and uplifting. And if you fill that category, you fit in that category, then get your Bible out. We're going to go over some notes, and we're going to look at what the Word has to say. If that isn't you, then do the same thing. Get your Bible out. Make some notes, because I'm sure you will know somebody or come across somebody or already know somebody that fits that description. So I'm going to point out some key essential positions that we in the body of Christ hold, and I'm going to talk about them tonight because it's important. Some of them people know, but and maybe this is a review, but sometimes we have to look at things over and over for them to be settled in our spirit. We need to distinguish the difference between saved and unsaved, between the Christian and the world. There is a difference, okay? But once we are born again, we are no longer of this world. We are no longer of this world if you are a Christian. We shouldn't fit into the world or try to be like it. The world is extremely loud right now. It's been pretty loud for a while, and it wants to be in control. It also wants to make you feel inadequate, and the enemy will use the world to put fear into the children of God. He wants you to believe that you need things of the world to be happy or at peace, and that's an outright lie. Let's turn to John 18:36. That's the first scripture I'm going to use. And tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the New King James Version, then I'm going to follow up with the Passion, all right, because there's some points we're talking about. Most of these scriptures that I'm using tonight, it's Jesus speaking. So if you have your Bible and you're following along, there are going to be a lot of red letters, all right? So John 18:36, New King James. And Jesus is answering Pilate, and he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." This is Jesus speaking, okay? Listen to it in the Passion. Jesus looked at Pilate and said, "The royal power of my kingdom realm doesn't come from this world. If it did, then my followers would be fighting to the end to defend me from the Jewish leaders. My kingdom realm authority is not from this realm." I like the very first part of that verse. The royal power of my kingdom realm doesn't come from this world. Okay. Months back, probably maybe even 2 years back, so I had done a series and talked about to stay vertical, to stay plugged into the spiritual realm and not the natural realm. Okay. So Jesus is not of this world. That's what these scriptures tell us. He's telling us that. I'm not of this world. So let's see what he says about us. Now, in this verse that we're going to look at, go to John 17, 14-16. In this verse, Jesus is talking to the Father. John 17, 14-16 in the New King James first. And he says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." This is Jesus speaking. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Okay? The world hated them because they are not of the world. So people in the world will hate Christians. We just have to accept that. Okay? So while we are here in this world, we are to carry out the plans and purposes that God has planned for our lives. He's planned those things before the foundation of the world. And one of those things that he's planned is that we are to be part of the Great Commission and share the gospel with the world and bring the world into the kingdom of God. God wants all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now in the Passion, same scripture, John 17, verses 14 to 16. He says, I have given them your message, he's talking to the Father, and that is why the unbelieving world hates them. The unbelieving world hates the Christian, for their allegiance is no longer to this world because I am not of this world. I'm not asking that you remove them from the world, but I ask that you guard their hearts from evil, for they no longer belong to this world any more than I do. So the gospel message has been hated, and I've seen it more than ever before. I see it today. I never expected to see the kind of hatred that we see today towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw it in other countries. We saw it in other parts of the world. And it really hasn't subsided since Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. But I never expected to see it in the United States as I have of recent. So let's read what Jesus had to say about the world's hatred. So this passage in the Bible is actually titled The World's Hatred, and it is Jesus speaking once again. Turn to John 15, and we're going to read verses 18 to 27. John 15, 18 to 27. Again, I'm going to read it from the New King James. And Jesus says, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We can accept that. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Let me stop there, just park there for a second, okay? Because they do not know him who sent me. So our job is to let them know him, the Father, who sent Jesus. Recently, Pastor Greg has been doing a series about back to basics. And he talks about the fact that we need to let our light shine. And we go out to the world and worldly places, and we need to draw them into the kingdom. And if you were here on Sunday, or if you watched Sunday, I loved the testimony that Minister Phyllis shared, which was really awesome, because she was cut off by somebody, and this person kind of was going in all the same directions that they were, and eventually they spoke. And it ended up also that Minister Phyllis ends up paying for her groceries. So the testimony that she gave was of God. She was letting this woman know that I have a Father God, and this is what he's like. So this series has been great. And in this day and age, there's so many people out there who are unfulfilled, empty, disgruntled, and hurting, who need to know about Jesus. And the only way the world will know about our Jesus is if we display it in our behaviors and with our words. And Minister Phyllis certainly did that. Now, back to John 15, verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened, listen to this, this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. Excuse me, verse 26. That, excuse me. Excuse me. They hated me without a cause. Okay, so verse 26, it's talking about the coming rejection. And this is what we can expect today. We're experiencing it today. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So, when we are hated by the world, we're in good company. Don't be concerned. This should help us realize that we are on the right track. Okay, I'm going to read the same segment starting at verse 18 from the Passion. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. This is important. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. Let me repeat that. Because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. My values as a Christian do not line up with the world. And this is where we need to take a stand and be representatives of Jesus Christ. They shouldn't line up with the world. I'm not going to support abortion or racism, homosexuality. They are not of God. They are not in the Bible. Well, they're in the Bible, but they're talked about. Not something we support. All of this confirms that we are in the end of the end times. I truly do believe, though, that many in the world want what we have, but many of them are afraid of being rejected by the world, by their own groups. And so that's why we need to break through some of those barriers. And also says, continues verse 19 there, it says, I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. This is Jesus still talking. Verse 20, so remember what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master. Since they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they will also obey yours. They will treat you this way because you are mine, and they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken these things to the unbelieving world, they would not feel the guilt of their sin. He's pointing out that obviously when the Holy Spirit convicted and convinced them, they are guilty of their sin. But now their sin is left uncovered. If anyone hates me, they hate my Father also. If I had not performed miracles in their presence like no one else has done, they would not feel the guilt of their sins. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. And all of this has happened to fulfill what is written in scriptures. They hated me for no reason. Verse 26. I love this. And I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you, the Spirit of truth, emanating from the Father, and he will speak to you about me. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit was always to testify of Jesus. And you will tell everyone the truth about me, for you have walked with me from the start. Our job is to always be telling the world about Jesus. In this particular day and age, the more we pray in the Holy Spirit, the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we will be encouraged. We know from the scriptures, as we pray in the Spirit, we edify, we build ourselves up. So if you're going through a tough time, a difficult patch, okay, praying in the Holy Spirit more consistently is going to be encouraging and uplifting. And the also in including in that is that the divine encourager will lead you into all truth. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you through every adversity that you encounter. Let's turn to John 16:33. And I'm going to read it from the New King James, one verse. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world. Listen to it in the Passion. Everything I have taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. So one of our responsibilities is to be courageous, knowing that Jesus has conquered the world. And this peace, even Jesus himself said, peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. So we don't have the peace of the world, but we have the peace of God. Remember, our peace does not come from this world or from the world system. And as Christians, we need to remind ourselves that we are overcomers. We are world overcomers. Let's turn to 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read it from the New King James. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to it in the Passion. It says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. I love that verse. Every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. We are always victorious. That's the bottom line. Always victorious. Faith only yields results when you put it into practice. That's the same thing as saying faith without works is dead. But faith only yields results when you put it into practice. In the Greek, the verb tense here indicates a continuous action. Continually conquers the world is really what it's saying. We continually are conquering in the world. Let's look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4, verse 4 in the New King James. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Let's look at it in the Passion. You can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them, for the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world. The one in you is far greater than the one that's in the world. So, kind of a quick little summary here before we go on. First of all, Jesus says he's not of the world. He's letting us know he's not of this world. Second, Jesus Christ declares that because we are his, we also are not of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Third, both Jesus and his followers are hated by the world. We know that. We can expect that. No shock, no surprise. Fourth, Jesus has overcome the world. Fifth, because we are born again or born of God, meaning that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we've asked him into our heart, we too overcome the world. That's available to us. And sixth, Jesus resides in us, making us world overcomers. I'm not a world overcomer without him. Let's go to Ephesians 3:17. I just took this one excerpt out of that. Many people know the Ephesians prayer there. This is in chapter 3, verse 17. And I just took this out because I want to focus on one thing. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now I want to look at dwell in your hearts. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. When we got born again, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? We ask Jesus into our lives. And life can be overwhelming at times, and people still are dealing with all kinds of stuff. I mean, just take COVID alone. There's people that lost loved ones because of that one pandemic. People lost family, lost jobs. Their children seem to be falling behind in schools. They're dealing with transgender issues. They're dealing with the cost of living and inflation that seems to be over the roof. But we need to remember that although we may experience momentary afflictions, our overwhelming victory in Christ is permanent and eternal. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it is, it's a momentary affliction, and overwhelming victory in Christ is permanent and eternal because we get to leave here and go home. We get to leave here. This is not our eternity. Okay? I'm sure you've heard it said that the only hell a Christian will ever experience is right here on earth, but the only heaven an unbeliever will know about is here on earth, because their eternity is in hell, and we don't want that to happen. So Jesus is our strong tower. He's our shelter. He's our dwelling place. But most important is that he chose, I think this is so wonderful, he chose to make our hearts his permanent dwelling place. That was his decision. He wanted to dwell in us. And in the Greek, listen to what the word dwell means here. Paul is saying, not only that Christ establishes his physical residence in a faith-filled heart by the Holy Spirit, but also that he is at home and permanently settled there. That location has become his dwelling place, his temple, his property. He owns us. We were bought with the price, his property, his place of permanent residence, and he has become a perpetual, never to move out occupant. I love that. We are his property, we are his temple, his place of permanent residence, and he has become a perpetual, never to move out occupant. Amen. Christ's dwelling is permanently fixed within our hearts. And he has no intention of ever leaving us or abandoning us or for another place of residence. He's not coming for a vacation in you. He came and he's permanently dwelling there. That means that he knows what we face every single day. And he faces it with us. He faces it with us, arm in arm. He knows what you face every day, and he faces it with us. So it is possible for us to live without Jesus' attention. It's impossible for us to live without Jesus' attention to every detail in our lives. He has to know everything that's going on because he perpetually dwells inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But think about that. We know from Scripture that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, okay? It also means that there's no place for us to run or hide from him. He's there permanently. Permanently. Because he literally goes where we go and is always present wherever we are. We are his permanent earthly residence. Permanent earthly residence. You need to meditate on that. All right? So Jesus is in every challenge that you face and every negative situation you confront. He's there. He's present to guide you, sustain you and strengthen you to the victory, to the positive outcome. Sometimes all we need to do is stop, think for a minute that the creator of the universe is living in me. Think about that. The creator of the universe is living in you. Talk to him. Say, Lord, help. Show me what to do. And in addition, think about that power that's in you as well. Not only is Jesus in you, but so is the power of the creator of the universe. Let's turn to Romans 8:11. Always been one of my favorite scriptures, Romans 8:11 in the New King James. Because when you understand what's available to you as a Christian, it's shouting time. Praise God. But Romans 8, verse 11, New King James. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and we just looked at those scriptures, he dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and that same power dwells in us, is in our mortal bodies. Listen to it in the Passion, Romans 8:11 in the Passion. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. There's no deadness in your body that the resurrection power of God cannot heal. I knew I was going to get to healing somewhere along the line. Couldn't avoid it, but love talking about healing. And that verse is so important there. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, we need to be thinking about that whenever we encounter situations. We have the power, and we have his resurrection power in us. There's no deadness in your body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. So if the doctor says, well, your pancreas is not functioning like it should, you have resurrection power for it to be healed. He says your heart is not functioning at the capacity that it should. Resurrection power is in you to fix that. Amen. There's no deadness in your body that the resurrection power of God cannot heal. Let's turn to Matthew 24:6. Matthew 24:6 in the New King James. And again, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. See that you are not troubled." He is concerned about our emotional state. He's concerned. He doesn't want us worrying about things. He doesn't want us in anxiety or anxious about something. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes." Have we not seen that? Have we not seen kingdom rising against kingdom? Okay, we've seen that. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." I want to focus on, see that you are not troubled. Meditate on that. Think on that. That's Jesus telling us what his desire is for us, not to be troubled. Let's read the same scriptures in the Passion. Verse 6. "You will hear of wars and revolutions on every side, with more rumors of wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears." Don't panic or give in to your fears. "For the breaking apart of the world's systems is destined to happen, but it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding. Nations will go to war against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms." We see this. "And there will be terrible earthquakes." Have we not recently had one? I'm not sure what the death toll is. The last I heard was it in 40-some thousand, which is horrible. Horrible epidemics. Still, the COVID issue, famines in place after place. This is how the birth pains of the new age will begin. So, we must not let the noises surrounding us throw us into a state of turmoil or panic. We are people of faith, and we put our trust in God. And we know the end of the story before it even begins. All you have to do is read the end of the book. We read the book of Revelations. We win. The last scripture that I want to focus on is 1 Corinthians 10:13. The enemy is out at this point, throwing as much as he can into the way of others to stop people from coming to Jesus. But revival, awakening, it's already started. I'm sure you've heard about what's happened at Asbury University, other universities. We're praying for it to just spread and hit all of the secular universities all over the country. And it's ironic that in 1970, 50 years ago, that the same beginning of the Jesus movement started at the same university. Praise God. He has a good sense of humor. 1 Corinthians 10:13 in the New King James Version. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Wow. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Think about it. There's nothing that could happen to you that you can't bear because God knows about it. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Listen to it in the Passion. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. And I remember, I think it was always Joyce Meyer used to say, we're all going to be tested, but we need to pass the test. And if we don't pass that test, we get to take it again. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. Think about that. That's amazing, isn't it? Everything you are confronted with, an evil report, negative situations, family, relationships, all kinds of stuff that could be negative, he screens them. He filters the severity and even the time of it, the nature of it. It's amazing. Each test, this is also, he said, each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. There's that song about trusting him more. Yeah, that's what it's about. When you think for a minute that you will never experience something so horrible that you couldn't bear up under it, then it makes it easier to realize, hey, I can do this. I'm an overcomer. I have the creator of the universe in me. I will get through this. Satan does not want you to think that you can handle anything that's a challenge. But we see here that the timing of every test or trial is screened by God. It's amazing. No matter what it is, he knows if you can bear it. There have been times when I would say to the Lord, enough, help. And kind of like, throw me a bone. Can we, this is like endless. And I'm sure maybe you've had your times like that too, maybe not. But when you know how faithful he is, that verse holds so true. He's faithful that he will not let you bear something you cannot handle. So in the title, it said, victory is yours because, well, number one, we are born again and we are not of this world. So we have the victory. Two, victory is yours because Jesus lives in you on a permanent basis. Three, we are overcomers because greater is he, Jesus, who is in us than he that's in the world. Victory is yours because you will win if you don't quit. You will always get the victory if you don't quit. 5, the Holy Spirit will help us to get through every adversity. He's always there to support us, to guide us, to lead us, sustain us, and strengthen us, giving us the victory. Victory is yours because I have access to the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I can speak to things. Victory is yours because God is faithful to be sure you don't experience anything you can't handle. Amen? So, in conclusion, I would like to pray for those of you out there or who listen to this later on, and you've been experiencing one challenge after another. You feel exhausted, discouraged, or even disappointed. You are not alone. You are not alone. Heavenly Father, I lift up those who are listening tonight, and I ask that you minister to their hearts. They feel overwhelmed, but they have heard how much you love them, and you are even forever in their hearts. You'll never leave. Have your Holy Spirit encourage them, comfort them, strengthen them, and sustain them as they meet the challenges of life. You know everything that they are going through. Let them know that you're there for them. Remind them that they are not alone. You dwell in them, and they cannot fail. They will always be victorious because of what Jesus has already done for us at Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you are out there tonight and you don't know this Jesus and you'd like him to come into your heart, then I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation at this point to give you that opportunity. And we'll put some information up on the screen for you and you can get started in the right direction. And basically what it is it's like you're coming home from the hospital with a baby. And you need all the right things to do for this baby what's necessary to bring them up properly. So after you pray this prayer, contact us and we will get this information to you. So just say this, say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. He died, was buried, and rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Dwell in me. Forever live in me. Forgive me of all my sins. And thank you that I now have eternal life with you. Amen. It's that simple. You ask him to come into your heart. And he will be there for you forever. So you can contact us by mail, by phone, and we will get some information out to you so that you can get started in the right direction. You need to find a church, a home church, that will teach the word to get you going in the right direction. You want to be victorious in this life while you are here on earth. Jesus did not die for us to get healing when we go to heaven because there's no sickness and disease in heaven. He died for us to have all the blessings and promises down here.